In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, we heard the gospel about the call of fishermen to become fishers of men, to be changed, to be transformed, to be given a new task, to be given a new job, a new way of life, a new identity. This calling of the apostles is very familiar to all of us. We're familiar with how the Lord asked them to put out their boats so he can teach the people, and how everyone heard his marvelous words, words spoken with divine authority, and how after the teaching he asked Peter to put out a little bit further into the deep and to let down those nets for a catch, even though they had toiled all night and caught nothing. And they did, as the Lord had asked them to do, and they couldn't carry the amount of fish that were swimming into their nets. They had to get a second boat, and when they filled both boats, they began to sink. They were overwhelmed by the catch of fish. And Peter says to the Lord, "I'm sorry, but you're going to have to depart from me because I'm just a sinful man. And obviously, you're not. This relationship, it's not going to work. I'm not who I should be. You're going to have to leave." And the Lord says to the Apostle Peter, he says, "Don't be afraid. You're not going to catch men. You're going to do something different, something better. You're going to become the person that you are meant to be." This is a great lesson for all of us in our Christian walk. That Christian walk is about becoming the people that we're meant to be. And who are we meant to be? What identity are we meant to have? In today's epistle reading, St. Paul talks to us as a co-worker of the gospel. He lists all of those wonderful things that the preachers of the gospel become and endure. He says to them that as apostles, we put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watching, hunger, by purity, for knowledge, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. This is the description of what it is to be an apostle, to be someone who is a follower of Jesus Christ and a fisher of men. It's a description that is as awesome as it is lengthy. It's a high calling to be an apostle. And when we consider this calling, you might think, well, it is a high calling, but it's not really a calling for me. It's a calling for the 12. It was a calling for the 70. Maybe it was a calling for the saints. Maybe it's a calling for the bishops or the priests or the deacons. But it's not necessarily my call. I have a different job in life. I have a different identity. I have a different work that I have to do. And yet, today's gospel reading, this calling of the disciples, teaches us something different. It teaches us that Christ is calling each and every one of us from whatever our profession is in life, whatever our identity is in life, to something new, to something more glorious. He's calling us to become disciples, people who listen to his teaching, and then he's calling us to become apostles, people who live out that teaching, and by living it out, share it with the world. This is what he's calling all of us to, no matter what our job is, no matter what our profession. No matter how we identify ourselves, Christ identifies ourselves differently. He looks at us differently. And in this relationship that we have with him, sometimes those two perceptions collide. They come into conflict. And we say to the Lord, depart from me. I'm just a sinful man. I'm just your average Joe. Find somebody else. I had a discussion yesterday with family in the church. Yeah, I'll identify it more concretely. My own family. We were sitting around the lunch table, and our youngest, Nikolai, who's 4 years old, he asked a question. It was a very deep question for a four-year-old. He said, when do we get to see the Lord in real life? And his brother, Alex, and Elizabeth, his sister, were very quick to answer that question. He said, the Lord is here in real life, but he's in heaven. You have to wait till you get to heaven to see the Lord. You can't see him now. And then we talked about how the Lord is invisible. But he reveals himself. And we put this on a four-year-old level, you know, for the youngsters. That he showed himself in Jesus Christ. That the invisible God became man, and we saw him. We saw what he looked like. St. John the Theologian says, we handled him. We touched him. We ate and drank with him. We walked the earth with him. That this invisible God entered into real life, and he changed life. I asked the children, I said, what would you do if you saw the Lord face to face? If you were able to see him in quote-unquote real life, like the apostles, what would you do? How would that go? Alex was very quick to answer. He said, I'd first get his blessing. I'd ask his blessing. And then I'd ask him some questions, which, you know, it was a pretty good answer. My wife, my family said, well, this is the Lord. I would fall down and prostrate myself, just being awed of being in his presence. I tried to prompt them for some other things that they might want to say or do with their chance to see the Lord face to face. I said, well, maybe you'd want to thank the Lord for everything that he's given to you. The wonderful world, our families, our friends, church community. Everything that we have that's good is from God. And if we have the opportunity, what do we want to thank him? And they said, yes, of course. And as a parent, and as a priest too, I had a smile on my face. I said, yes, they're getting it. They're getting it. But then later in the day, I was thinking about how that conversation went. And I was thinking about this gospel reading that we heard today. And I was thinking about maybe there could have been a better answer to that. And what we would do, what we would say, if we were in the Lord's presence. Does anyone have a guess at what that might be? Well, what could be better than asking the Lord's blessing, giving him thanks, asking him our questions? What could be better?
Being silent.
Being silent, absolutely. Absolutely. Coming into the Lord's presence and letting him take the lead. Letting him initiate a conversation. Letting him offer us a word. Letting him reach out to bless us. Letting him be the Lord. In today's gospel reading, the disciples saw the Lord face to face. This was their meeting with the incarnate Son of God. And they had dialogue, they had a back and forth. Apostle Peter, you know, when he was asked to put the boat out into the deep, let down the nets for a catch, he said, well, Lord, you know, we toiled all night and we caught nothing. But nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. So went out and did it. Listen to the Lord, and something miraculous happened. All that great catch of fish. Then the Apostle Peter again takes the initiative. He says, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. This isn't going to work out like you think. And what is the Lord saying? Peter, in other words, Zip it. Zip it. Lock it. Put it in your pocket. Whatever you're going to do, just be quiet. You don't know who's standing in front of you yet. But you learn that I am the Word of God incarnate. It's now time to listen. It's now time to follow. Time to be led. And by doing so, it's time to see great and marvelous and wonderful things. What was the response of the disciples to the events of this day? It was the final sentence in today's gospel reading. Yeah? Anyone remember what it was? It says, after they pulled up all those fish, they'd seen the miracle. What did they do? They packed those fish up and bring them out to market. They put them on ice. What did they do? They left everything. They left it all. And they went and they followed him. Amazing. Just as the Lord had caught all of those fish for them, he had actually caught the disciples. He had hooked them. He hooked them on a new way of life, on a new profession, on a new identity. They were starting to become who they were meant to be, people who stood in the presence of the Word of God and listened and followed. Those people who are called to be blessed are not just those who hear the Word of God, but who keep it, who put it into practice. You know, when we look at this encounter between the Lord and his disciples, we must see the parallel between the Lord and each and every one of us. We must realize that we hear the teaching. Like all of those crowds on the Sea of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, we hear the teaching. Many people heard it that day. Many people heard it, but only few followed the Lord and became his disciples. Many people hear the gospel, but a fewer amount actually hear the Word of God and keep it and become the Lord's disciples and follow him and stand silently by his side, listening for every word which will direct their life. This is the calling of the 12, it's the calling of the 70, it's the calling of every single Christian from every day and age, to be a disciple and to become an apostle, a co-worker with God, fulfilling that long list that St. Paul gave us. When we think about our commission to be apostles, and this is given as the Lord ascended to heaven, to go into every nation and to baptize and to teach the observance of everything that he has commanded, because he's with us even until the end of the age. When we think about this great commission, we think about ways that we can fulfill it. First, of course, by ordering our own life and making sure that we're keeping those commandments. Because how can we tell others, how can we tell the whole world to keep the commandments if we're not keeping them ourselves? That should be step one. Step two is to share this gospel. Blessed are the feet that carry the gospel, says in the scriptures. And how do we do that? How did the Lord do it in the gospel reading today? He asked the disciples to put out on their boat, right? So his voice could carry over the waters. He used the best medium of the day. He didn't have a megaphone, no speakers in those days, right? His voice carried over the waters, and the people were able to listen. What are the mediums that are available to us if we're going to be the Lord's apostles? Certainly the human voice. To speak to one another about the Lord, about his teachings, about the good news, to share that teaching, to talk to people. What are some of the other things that we can do? How can that voice carry even further? Who's on the social networks? Who's on Facebook? Don't tell me no one's on Facebook. There's billions of people on Facebook, and probably almost all of you are on Facebook. Right? Or Google Plus, or Twitter, or some kind of social network. You're online. Do we realize how powerful that medium is? Do we realize how many people we can touch with the gospel through the internet? How many fish could you catch in the little net? They caught an awful lot that day. How many people can be caught through the internet? How deep is that sea? Nowadays, everyone swims in it. Right? And we do more time swimming in that sea than on dry land, even. Right? We need to reach out to people through the internet. We have a parish website. We try to keep it updated. There's Ancient Faith Radio, Orthodox Christian Network, Patristic Nectar Ministries, and other such mediums to share the gospel. It doesn't take that much effort to actually do that, to support the ministry, to share the gospel through the internet. It just takes a little movement of the fingers. It takes the desire of the heart to do that, to share the gospel. As we live in 21st century, as we keep that same call that the apostles received in that first century, as we live that life of transformation, finding our new identity in Christ, let us use the mediums that are available to us to share that gospel. Talk to the people that we see face-to-face in real life. And for those people that we see in the virtual world, we see online, share the gospel with them too. We don't have to compose the message. The message is already there. The gospel is the gospel. And we have these wonderful tools, Ancient Faith Radio, Patristic Nectar Ministries, Orthodox Christian Network, our own parish website, the OCA website, orthodoxinfo.com. There are countless resources available for us to share the gospel. Let us find our identity as disciples and as apostles. Let us be people who receive that call to be changed, to find our new job, our new profession, as fishers of men. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to Christ.